Who drinks coffee here? Anybody drink coffee? You ever have like coffee breath? You drink the coffee and then you're like, I need some water. Well, I drank a half a cup of coffee this morning, and then I was standing there worshiping, and I was like, I really need some water, and I have to speak. And Steve walks by and hands me this. I was like, I was actually praying, should I just leave and go get some water? No, I'll just worship God. And Steve walks by and hands me this. I would just say, thank you, Steve, not just for handing me this, but for following the leading of the Holy Spirit many times. The other week, he gives me a card, and it was like right on point. It was like he went to give somebody else a card, and they were like, no, thank you. I was like, then he turned to me, and he's like, oh, I got a different one for you. And he randomly picked a different one and handed it to me. It was like exactly what I needed. And so that's how the body of Christ works, right? And amen. So grace and truth. Yes. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Both. Grace and truth. You combine those two and you have sound doctrine, right? When they're combined. If you have one without the other, you know, that doesn't work. Let's pray. Lord, just help me today and help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that thing on? That's on. How come it's not moving? Let me turn it off and back on. Somebody told me that fixes everything. Computers, iPhones, you name it. The battery low? No. There it goes. Okay. So this is talking about false prophets. It says, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he is not turned from his wicked way to save his life. What does the lie do? What does the lie do? It makes the heart of the righteous sad. If you're righteous, a lie should make you sad. Should make you sad. That's what it does. In the heart of God, God is righteous, right? He's sad. The lie is very powerful. Very powerful. And so I was thinking of some lies, like a big one, Psalm 14:1. It's listed somewhere else too. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or no God. And God said, I am God. I'm God. The fool says, no, there is no God. God said, I am. Look at the stars. Look at the creation. I am God. The Spirit speaks. I am God. The fool says, no, there is no God. It's a lie. There is no God. How sad. It says, no, you're not. Here's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard. Exodus 32. God leads the Israelites across the Red Sea out of Egypt. And then they build a golden calf and worship and say, this is what led us out of Egypt. What a whopper. You know, that is a lie of lies. I mean, how stupid can you get? But people, they go with it. They go with that lie. I mean, how sad, how sad. God said, no, I led you out of Egypt. I am the God who brought you through the Red Sea, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what he keeps telling them. I'm the one who brought you through the Red Sea. And they say, no, the golden calf brought us through the Red Sea. Like, just make up some preposterous lie. Preposterous. It's arrogance. Deuteronomy 1:27. You complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt. If that doesn't make your heart sad, I don't know what will. God hates me. That should make you sad, right? And how many people have ever kind of thought that? Like, maybe God's not for me. But God said, that's a lie. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I love you with an everlasting love. That's the truth. That's the truth. And people say, no, he hates me. No, he loves you. He loves you. God loves you. They said he hated us, and they complained about it. 1 John 4:2, the people say Jesus is not the Christ, the Messiah. But Jesus said, I am the Christ. The people say, you don't know the truth. Or they word it a different way. You don't have a lock on the truth. Or how can you know the truth? You don't know. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says this. And earlier he says, John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. There are people that say he's not coming again. Lie. He said he is. He said there's people say he's not coming again to take us where he is. Lie. He said he is. And then he says to Thomas, you know the way. And Thomas says, how can I know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. And so turn to your neighbor and say, you know the way. Don't be lying. You know the way. It's Jesus. And so sometimes the lie is very subtle, right? Sometimes it's a big whopper. God didn't bring you out of Egypt. I mean, how much bigger can it get than that, you know? And sometimes it's very subtle. That there are good people. Good people. They're good religions. They're good. They're good. And let's talk about these to the exclusion of Christ. Very subtle. But you're excluding Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. Don't lie. He's the way. You must be born again, Jesus said. You must be. There's no other way. You must be born again. He's the tree of life. Some people say, it's not finished. I have to do something else. It's grace plus. You know, they say it's not finished. Jesus said, it is finished. People say, no. Who's righteous? The one who believes in Jesus. God says, I don't want you to be sad in this world. Just like Grace was saying, don't fear, right? You're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the truth. He has overcome the world. You might have tribulations, but he's overcome the world, so be of good cheer. And he doesn't want us to listen to a lie. He's the God who led us out of Egypt. He's the God who's from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who went to the cross. Speak the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth. Speak it. The hands of the wicked will lose their strength with the truth. So this is talking about Pergamos. We talked a little bit about last week. This is the compromising church. Revelations 12:15. Turn that. Boom. Thus you also have those who hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And a couple of weeks ago, somebody, I want to say John Clark, but somebody came up to me and said, you know, there was only one good thing that Jesus said about the Laodicean church, that he loved them. He loves us no matter what, right? He loved them. He loved them. He said, I discipline those who I love. And but about the church at Ephesus, well, first of all, he hates false doctrine. He didn't really like the lukewarmness. It made him want to puke, right? But he loved the church. And he hates false doctrine. He hates it. And Ephesus had this huge problem. Huge problem. They lost their first love. Like, keep the main thing, right? And that's love. And then also, along with that, the main thing, it's grace and truth. You got to have the truth with it, right? Otherwise, it'll lead you away from that love. It'll lead you away. If you have a lie, it's going to make you sad. You're going to think God hates you. You're not going to be in God's love if you have a lie. So it's grace and truth. So this huge problem Ephesus had, but God told them something positive too. You've kept the doctrine. You've kept the doctrine. Imagine like Philadelphia, if they had kept the doctrine and the love. You know, like, wow. And but what did the doctrine do? It protected them from becoming like Pergamos. The doctrine protected them from compromising truth and marrying or compromising and getting into bed with something that didn't point to Christ. In Revelation 2:6, but this I have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. These are the same guys which the church in Pergamos, the compromising church, had in their church teaching doctrine. But in Ephesus, he said, good job. You hate the deeds of those guys. Good job. So haters be hating. Anybody ever heard that? Haters be hating? Well, this is the doctrine of hate. The church is full of haters. It should be full of haters because we hate what goes against what we love, right? So we should hate that. We don't hate people, right? Ephesians 6, we don't battle against flesh and blood. That's not our war, you know. But we hate ideas that are false. We hate lies. If somebody's got a kid that's addicted to heroin, I can guarantee you they hate heroin. You know, we hate lies. We hate things that destroy what we believe in, what we love. And so, okay, we're haters. We're haters of lies. Haters of falsehood. Haters of evil. Lovers of God. Lovers of truth. Lovers of people. You know, people that love the lies, they actually hate people. If think about it. Like, if you like distributing heroin, you probably don't like the people you're giving it to, right? It's a lie. So, this is, keep in mind, Ephesians 6, Psalm 139, 21 and 22. Do I hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. The CSV says extreme hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, we don't battle against flesh and blood. We don't hate people. We love our enemies, right? That's what Jesus taught us. But these ideas, these things that come against God, we should hate that. We should hate those ideas. Mark 4:24, shortly after the parable of the sower, Jesus says to his own disciples, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Don't listen to lies. Now, that a subtle lie comes, and sometimes we think, that's not the shepherd's voice. Or we're confused. Is that the shepherd's voice? Well, if you're confused, just go to the shepherd. Right? Go to Jesus. Follow what you've been taught, what you know. Follow that he loves you. He does love you. You hear his voice? He hates you. You're confused. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. That's not my shepherd. My shepherd loves me. I've been taught that by the Holy Spirit. He loves me. And you follow the shepherd, right? And so don't be confused. Come to him. He is truth. Some people say, I'm not a sheep. Well, don't get confused about walking with God with politics. Don't be a sheep in politics. We're not sheeple in politics, right? We're not sheeple with the world's ideas, but we are sheeple with Christ. If you're not a sheep, then you can't follow the shepherd. You can't hear his voice if you're not a sheep. One time, Pastor Schaller, he was in Moscow, and he was like, he asked the taxi driver, how was your day? He was like, it's terrible. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I'm a wolf. And Pastor Schell was like, that kind of scares me because I'm a sheep. And the guy was like, what? And then he told him how he follows Jesus, you know? And he's like, well, I'm a pastor, which means shepherd. But before I'm a pastor, I'm a sheep. I have to be led, right? I have to be led. Even Jesus was a sheep. Did you know that? He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Our great shepherd was led like a sheep to the slaughter. You have to be a sheep in order to be a shepherd. And so, like, I am a sheep. I'm a sheep. And as a sheep, we know his voice. We can detect, oh, wait a minute. No, God doesn't hate me. Or any other lie. We can, our little spiritual antennas go up, beep, 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 you know, like something ain't right here. That reminded me, my brother-in-law loaned us his minivan and he had a radar detector on there. Couldn't use it in Virginia, but once you got to Pennsylvania, that thing was scaring me to death. Be driving down the road, all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep. There's a cop somewhere. We have those detectors inside, you know, and listen to them. Now, this is an interesting verse. The New King James didn't say it quite right, so I quoted this new version I've been reading, the CSV, and then another looser version has a kind of good translation. The New King James says, if a man should walk in a false spirit, now that's talking about a false spirit, and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be a prattler of his people. Well, I don't know what a prattler is, but so the other versions are better. If a man comes and utters empty lies, I will preach to you about wine and beer. He would be just the preacher for this people. And then the other version. Suppose a prophet full of lies would say to you, I'll preach to you the joys of wine and alcohol. That's just the kind of prophet you would like. Now, in this verse, I just want to point out two problems. Two problems. One is, you got a prophet who speaks lies. That's a problem. If you have a prophet speaking lies, then don't listen to him, right? And two is, the people are listening to the prophet that speaks lies. So you got a double problem. You got a double problem. So we need to be a sheep. We need to listen to hear his voice. And we also have this. The Bereans were more noble than all the others, right? Because they went and checked it, right? And so, but we also have to be careful with this, because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But Satan, when he tempted Jesus, he actually used this. Satan used this against Jesus. And so 2 Timothy 4:3, sound doctrine. I don't know. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. What's doctrine? It's like teaching or instruction. They won't endure sound doctrine. You know that word indoctrination? You know, we don't like that word because it's got a bad connotation. But I want to be indoctrinated with truth. You know, somebody said, well, you're brainwashed. I was like, yeah, wash my brain and wash my whole body with the word of God, right? You know, like all of it. Peter? Was it Peter? Said to Jesus, oh, you can't wash my feet. You know, then he's like, wash my whole body. Oh, you can't wash my brain. Wash my whole body. Like, really, give it all to Jesus. So sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. There's lots of stuff out there. Titus 1:9-11, this is speaking of the elder. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate. Ooh, that's not an American word. There are many insubordinate, both idle talkers. You don't hear that preached on. Maybe we should preach on idle talkers. And deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped. How? Well, I don't know. I suppose it depends on whether it's done in arrogance or ignorance, right? God will lead us. Pray for us. But for the sake of the unity, we can allow it. No. For the sake of unity, we don't allow it. Because our unity is in Christ. If we don't have the unity around Christ, then what's the point? Let's go join the Lions Club. You know? It's like, it's about Christ. And so, the pastor, which means shepherd, teacher is a shepherd, the elder is a shepherd, and the primary job of a shepherd is actually, think about it, to protect. Because sheep can eat anywhere, right? I mean, even look at it nowadays, they build a fence and they, you know, take care of them and watch them because they can get kind of ridiculous. But think about David, the lion and the bear. And you ever watch that cartoon with the Hungarian sheepdog? that old cartoon with the Hungarian sheepdog, the dog whose fur was in his eyes, and then what was it, Wile E. Coyote or something, was trying to get the sheep, and he was always trying these different things, and that sheepdog was on to him, but protect against the threat. Some of them, I guess my point is, he would try all these tricky things, but the sheepdog, he pretend like he's asleep, but he wasn't. He was awake. And then he would see it coming. So some attacks are like bold, like right in your face. This is macroevolution. Boom. Lie. You know, this is like the gold calf led us out of Egypt. You know, like, who can't spot that? I hope we can spot that. Well, then some of them are very subtle. Very subtle. Like the serpent was more subtle. And like, there are many gifts in the church too. Sometimes if you watch the herds, the deer, they'll start flicking their tail when there's danger, and it alerts the other deer, you know. And there are gifts of discernment that people have. Some people have no discernment. You ever notice that? Like, they don't know what's a lie and what's not a lie. There's other people that it's like, that ain't right. And like, so we need to, the body helps each other too. And so this is kind of get to the main thing. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you... One time, we were out near the mountains. We were talking to these New Age people. We were talking to them about Jesus. They're like, oh, I know Jesus. Mary, too. We have outer body experiences, and we meet them. And I was like, that's not the Jesus I know. You know, like, that's a different Jesus. You know, and so if somebody comes preaching to you another Jesus, where was I? Whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, lie, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That goes back to that verse a little bit ago, the two problems. You got the false prophet, and then you got the people listening to the false prophet. He's like, you may well put up with it. And so look how he says a different gospel. A different gospel. Christ is the central point of the gospel. He is our all in all. We actually sing a song, something about that. He's our everything or something. That's Christ. Like, that's the point. And so the social gospel doesn't address sin. We have a problem, and Christ is the cure. Like, there's no cross. There's no sin. There's no Christ. There's no blood. There's no cure, but it's from the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but they leave Christ out of it. Here's one, Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, even if Gabriel himself comes and says to Muhammad, hey, look, I got a different way, which that wasn't Gabriel. They say it was. It was a different angel on the demonic side that told him that. If an angel himself, an angel from heaven, preached any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. See how he wrote that? It's the same language. It's the same language. He says, gospel. Why did Paul say that? Why did he use the same language? Why didn't he say, if anyone comes preaching anything else? Why did he say gospel? Because he's saying, they're going to come saying, this is the gospel. They're going to come and say that those words, those buzzwords that you know God by, grace, gospel, love, they're going to use that and confuse you, right? And that's the subtle part of it too. And that's why I use that word. But it's not, it's a work system, a worldly system of human efforts, human wisdom, to do what only God can do. And some of them have grace plus gospels. oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross, but you have to finish it. You know, he'll get you started, and then you have to finish something. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus, and his blood is enough. So he uses pretty strong language, too. Accursed. Let them be accursed. That's like in your face. Like, he's not playing around with them. He's like, no. Not going to put up with it. And this lie, these other gospels, this subtlety that Jesus is not the way. Even though they might not say that, they'll say Jesus is the way. But then when it comes out, it's actually a work system. It's actually something else pointing you away from Jesus. They don't actually, they have an Advent, right? But they don't have Christ in the Advent. I'm not sure. How do you do that? But like, it's like some other gospel. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So everybody stand up. I stand up. Stretch a little bit. And then look at your neighbor and say, no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus, except through Jesus. Yeah. Amen. You can sit down. I don't care how nice or good your religion is. If it doesn't have Christ at the center, it's not Christianity. Man's sick, only one cure. And then you have blatant stuff like the gold calf type woke, the woke movement in the church. That's like crazy. That's not sound doctrine. God wants us to have sound doctrine. And so if I offend you because of my culture or my personality or my personal opinions, I'm sorry. But if I offend you because of the word, tough. Right? I'm not sorry. You know, so here's some opinions for you. Some opinions. Ho, ho, ho. The culture, our culture has trees and lights, and we celebrate with family. And Christians say it's about the birth of Jesus. And we celebrate the birth of Jesus by giving gifts to other people and eating great food and gathering with family. That's fine. But is Jesus really celebrated? And I'd say usually not. And in my own home, a lot of times not. You know, like we read the Christmas story Christmas morning, and then we have our rest of our tradition, you know. And that's okay. That's okay, right? Tradition's okay as long as it doesn't lead us away from Christ or culture. And it's also okay as long as we don't cause another brother to stumble. And it's also okay as long as it doesn't somehow prevent or inhibit the gospel. Like, there are missionaries that go to other countries that say, you have to dress like us, speak the old King James English like us, and do this, you know. And that didn't work, right? You like, what was it, Hudson Taylor, he dropped his culture and grew like pigtails and wore the Chinese garb and spoke Chinese and was very effective, you know. He didn't let the culture get in the way. Some people, they place a very high meaning on the true meaning of Christmas, which is that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I have never, on Christmas morning, been, Steve knows this guy, what's the guy's name that drives the Midnight Express? It's a van that goes down into Baltimore and like feeds the homeless and gives them blankets and stuff and preaches the gospel. But they go out Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. I have never been down there with them on Christmas Day. I just don't celebrate it that way. You know, I probably have told somebody about Jesus on Christmas at some point when we're going on our overstuff. Sometimes we'll go on a walk and we'll go to the park or something. I might have said something, but it's not like my emphasis on Christmas Day. And some people like me think that Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter should be celebrated all year long. Every day we celebrate his birth, right? We celebrate that God loves us and sent his son on a mission to die for us. And that we should not celebrate Christmas in the traditional way. We should rent a beach house. But, and I even told my wife, we could bring a Christmas tree and put it on the beach. We can get beach houses really cheap Christmas weekend. It would be so fun. We could take a dog. We could find shark's teeth. You do that? Okay, yeah. You're not invited, but it's only a family thing. Sorry, it's culture. No. I'm just kidding. If I offended you, I'm sorry. but yeah, like this is no different. So every year I like to do that. But for the sake of the unity, we stay at home. We have a family dinner. We eat Christmas, and so we basically, I cut the tree in half. And that's what this church did. If you notice, we have half of a tree out there. That's for the people that like to celebrate Christmas with the Christmas tree, and the other half is for the people that don't like to celebrate Christmas with the Christmas tree. So, but here's the point. We can compromise on culture for the sake of unity, but never compromise on doctrine, right? And so what does the Bible say? What a novel idea. What's the Bible say about it? Okay, here's one of the things the Bible says. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And we have such a cultural convincing that Christmas is an extra special day. But it's, you know, it's a day that we worship the Lord just like every other day. It's just this whole, anyway. But back to this verse. Let us be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observed the day, observe it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. And, give God thanks on Christmas Day and on Thanksgiving. Yeah, give God thanks. And celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas Day and on Thanksgiving. And, So here's just, this is not an all-inclusive, just a couple other things that the Bible says about Christmas, that Jesus is eternal, that he came to earth and he was born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, where he was born, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are of old from everlasting. Yeah, and so this is not, Jesus is not God's plan B. You know, this is God's plan. Revelation 3:8, he's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus was born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? The angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Why is this important? Well, it's God's word. It's in the Bible, for one thing. But for another thing, Jesus' blood was pure. He did not inherit the sin nature like we all did, except for him. And in the mother's womb, did you know the blood of the baby is separate from the blood of the mother? It can even have a different blood type. And his blood is precious, without spot and without blemish. So it's kind of an important point. Mary is blessed among women. Very biblical. She was highly favored. That means highly graced. God gave her a lot of grace. But she was not God. This is Elizabeth in Luke 1:42. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And later, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. And then Luke 11:46-49, and Mary said, this is her song, what's called the Song of Mary, but it says she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary needed a Savior, just like every other human being except for Jesus. She needed a Savior, and she says that right there. For he is regarded, and what did Mary say? She said to the servants, "Do listen to what he tells you, or do what he tells you. Like whatever, and this is what, you know, he's the Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. She's blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So this very blessed, but not God. And then, did I just read that? Oh, yeah, that's the one I just read there. Okay. And then Jesus didn't need sound doctrine because he's the living word. He is sound doctrine. And this is Matthew 4, 3 to 4. You know this one. He's tempted. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's in the desert, and he's tempted by Satan himself. And Satan comes to him and says, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So "it is written" is so important, right? We have the word, we have the Bible, and it has authority. And when we quote it by faith, it has tremendous authority over Satan, over the evil one. And but then Satan comes, and Satan quotes the Bible to Jesus himself. And now it gets real. He tells Jesus to commit suicide. I mean, what a demonic thought. Jesus himself was tempted with that thought, to commit suicide, jump off the temple. The Bible says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's what Satan says. So Satan could come to any one of us with the scripture. That's why sound doctrine is so important. Sound doctrine is so important. And we need to be taught, when we hear, when we listen, we need to listen for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit teaches us something, that's ours to keep. We have a lock on truth. When the Holy Spirit, the secret things, Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord and to those who he reveals them to. When God reveals something to us, that's ours to keep. That's ours. And we can whip that sword out of our pocket and use it at any time. And so Jesus, Satan tempts him with the word. So Jesus had this thought in his head, right? Satan came with a thought. The thought is not a sin. It's entertaining it that becomes a sin, right? And he had this thought, and he used the word. He said, "It is also written," or "It is written again." He put it in context. He made it sound doctrine. Right? Satan came with a half-truth. A half-truth is a lie, right? And then he comes back with the rest of the context, basically, with the sound doctrine. And 2 Timothy 4, 3, "For the time will come..." Oop, where did I go? I must have put that in the wrong order. There we go. 2 Timothy 4, 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We need sound doctrine to protect us from lies. Deceivers, we need sound doctrine. We don't need idle talk either. We need sound doctrine. Amen? And so let's go back to verse 1. Let's see if I did it this way or that way. Oh, I did it that way. Not verse 1. The first verse I quoted. And let's change lies for truth. And Ezekiel 13, 22, "Because with truth you have made the heart of the righteous glad." You see that? With the lies, the false prophets made the heart of the righteous sad. But the real prophet with truth makes the heart of the righteous glad. And wasn't there something in that Psalm 34 you were quoting about gladness? Anyway, there's a song about that, right? "He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad." That's a truth. He has made me glad. When I receive the truth, I'm glad. I'm not sad. I'm glad. It's when I resist the truth or I receive a lie that I get sad. So with truth, "you made the heart of the righteous glad, whom I have made glad." And "you don't strengthen the hands of the wicked. You weaken the hands of the wicked so that he turns from his wicked way to save his life." Isn't that neat? That's neat. Anyway, that's truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you for your life. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, the Spirit that speaks with all authority, that leads us into all truth and speaks of you. And we will continually speak of you and praise your holy name. We praise you this morning. We thank you this morning. We worship you. We thank you for sending your son to die on the cross. We thank you that you came in the form of a man as a baby. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you for this truth, Lord, for this truth and sound doctrine, Lord. And we just praise you. If there's anybody here today who has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, don't believe the lie. Believe the truth. He loves you. He loves you so much. As many as call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just cry out to him and say, save me, Jesus. Just call on him. In Jesus' name, amen.